Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
Thank you, Richard.
Hello, welcome. I requested that song because I thought maybe a few of us would be able to relate with pushing it. Or out the sunroof, whatever way they're going to come out somehow, aren't they? Welcome to Funny Mummies Live. Wow, thank you so much for giving up your Sunday afternoon, coming along. This is weird for me because I was saying it's kind of not a podcast, it's not stand-up, it's somewhere in the middle. We're all just going to have a lovely time. I mean, it literally is just like you're standing in my living room and I'm on a microphone. So let's see. So for those that haven't listened to the podcast, I should explain a bit. So I'm Hattie Ashdown and so I host these podcasts. I'm a comedian, actress, writer, all those triple threats, they say, and a mum of two boys that have ruined, yes, my sanity and my body, to two very feral boys. So, welcome. Everyone okay? Yeah, so what have we been up to? So I've been quarantined for about 3 weeks. Haven't been able to come out. Now you're all looking at me very scared because I've been quarantined with two boys who had the dreaded chicken pox. This is my first trip out after 3 weeks, so I'm going a bit cuckoo caca. I'm already regretting this outfit because it's really see-through on stage, but I'm out. And through that process of 3 weeks, one of the things, like many things with parenting, is you get a lot of unsolicited advice and people telling you, do this, put oats in the bath. And then you get confused. You're like, well, do I just put a load of porridge oats in the bath? Do I put it in some kind of plastic bag? And then they're trying to eat the bloody porridge oats. He's only blooming 19 months. It's all like, no, you're not meant to eat them. And the first one went, the oldest one, he's gone back to school. He's just got a few, you know, little scabs, but that's fine. He's gone back. But then the second problem that is going on in my parenting world, which is he's 4 and a half and he's in reception. And to be honest, he's never really been great at it. And that's wetting himself. And I don't know why I laugh, because you've got to laugh, haven't you, really? And he got sent home on Friday because he's used the bottom of their spare bag, you know. I mean, he came home in girl's knickers, like he's used them all now, and they were like, you're going to have to come and get me, run out of all the clothes. And I think while the teacher is not sympathetic anymore, normally she's sympathetic, but she's like, yes, and he wet himself and he laughed. And I really just wanted to say, look, love, if you wet yourself, wouldn't you laugh? I mean, what else can you do? You've got to just laugh, haven't you? So, that kind of brings me to our topic. And we always try to have a topic, but we can go off it a bit, doesn't matter. And that is our topic today, is I feel like I should have a doo-doo-doo, is advice. Advice. Someone said, lovely. I love a little lovely. Please do chirp in. I'm going to give this mic over in a minute, and this will be a roaming mic if anyone wants to join in. So, what we're going to do now, is bring on, it's not just me, don't worry, we're going to bring on some of my lovely panel. Some of you who I know are related to her are going, thank God. So, whether it's from our mothers, family, books, or the old woman on the bus, I will dig out the worst and best from my panel, and hopefully some of you. So, shall we meet them? Let's meet them. Okay, so really, she's become the Miranda to my Carrie, the David Furniss to my Elton John, the Sunita to my Simon Cowell, the founder and now returning MC of Comedy Virgins, it's Gemma Beagley!
Yes! Were you expecting me to spring out and to dance there, Hattie?
Yes.
Because I will.
Why hasn't she come on in
the full Union
Britannia
Jack
dress?
Yes, yeah.
No, she hasn't. Look, she's so comfortable. She's just straight down. This is so weird. We're normally just in a little studio doing this.
Yeah.
And now we're really exposed. But we love it. Well, I do. I don't know if Gemma loves being exposed so much. Anyway. Shall we bring on the next funny mummy and then we'll get into the business of it all. Okay, let me just... I haven't set my timer, so that's good. I did a preview the other day and did that classic at the end, went to press stop, but actually I was pressing start. So all I got was the fucking round of applause. So
do you know what, though? So, I mean, if you're going to record any of it, yeah, the round of applause is probably
the round of applause
back to
and then going, go home! Okay, so next, she's become a regular on the Funny Mummies, and we asked her to do this. Me and Gemma both was like, who would love to come back, because she did one of our favourite podcast episodes on childcare, and you may have seen her talents, which I realise as I read that out sounds really rude, on such shows as Miranda, Motherland, The It Crowd, Catastrophe, and many more, alongside being a mother of two. It is the one and only Margaret Caborn Smith! Yay! Music. Let's just enjoy the music.
Yes, girl power through the ages we've done, haven't we?
I asked them to choose their own music. Gemma chose.
We got like 3 seconds.
We did.
We've known like about... name that tune.
We've known about this podcast record for months, and I asked them last night at 12 a.m. So, ladies, we're going to talk about advice. When I say the word advice and parenting to you, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Fury. I mean, I just unless I ask for it. I mean, yeah. Sometimes even when I ask for it, I don't really want it.
Really?
I want reassurance. I don't want people to
you just
say
want people,
what I've done wrong.
You just people confirm that what you're doing is
what
correct.
What you are doing is correct, yeah. The best advice I ever had was my sister just said, oh, whatever gets you through the night.
Yeah.
You know?
Perfect.
So maybe we should end the podcast.
Was that before
then.
You had children or...?
booze.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind...
It's
so close, I can do that.
It is that unsolicited thing, of course, where, it's just... I absolutely didn't fucking ask. and for me, I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it, but I'll go early, if that's okay. But the worst piece of advice I ever got around being a mother was from my dog walker, who had no children.
She's got a dog walker.
Who started her advice with, well, what I do with my cats is...
No, go on, I want to know.
What I do with my cats is...
She didn't.
I smoke a joint. So maybe if you smoked a joint over his cart.
So not even
wait a minute.
Yourself
what
down.
Advice? No, not for me. What was she giving you advice on to get him to sleep?
Well, I can't even remember saying, "Oh, he's not sleeping." It was just straight in. What I do with my cats is
my friend's dad said to me, "Oh, I'll tell you what I recommend: a bit of sherry on the nipples."
For breastfeeding, I assume, not
maybe
the
for anything. Maybe
anything.
Yeah, just tingling. I don't know, just a bit of a thrill. No, yeah, for the babies. That's that generation. Well, it was just like, oh, just get some alcohol.
Well, that brings us round nicely to what we've sort of got a plan, which is unusual for us, which is old wives' tales. So it's been something that's been a part of my life because I had an older mum, so she was always coming out with old wives' tales. And I just really thought they were all true. And so we're here, we want to hear some of yours. That's what our roaming mic is for. And if you know any, and also dispel any myths, I guess. Should we dive in at the
Let's
ones?
Do it.
Let's do it.
That we want to know if you say it's true or false.
All right.
Warm us all up.
Should we give Mita our roamer the roaming mic? There you go, this is Mita.
Just pick random people, Mita, to say, and they have to say whether they think it's true or false.
All right.
You didn't know you were going to be
tested. I love this lady, the rudd. She's like, I need to know the rules. I'm out the house. I'm having a glass of wine. I've only had one and I can't remember the rules. Okay, so Number one.
So number one is, oh, don't worry about it. You can't get pregnant while you're breastfeeding.
True or false?
False.
It's already some very angry
I don't think
people.
We're going to need a mic, Meeta.
Do you know that? But somebody said this to my friend, and they were a GP. Yeah, so that's really bad. If a GP is saying that.
Then they should bring up the baby.
Agreed, yeah. Hand over the baby to whoever gives that advice. You bring up my child.
Did has anybody used that contraception? Are they comfortable to say?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It didn't work. But you purposely thought, I'm all right.
6 months. Thanks. What?
I mean, no.
But it obviously has worked for some people. Has it worked?
No. The thing is that people think it's true because you don't get your period.
Yes.
So you sort of go, oh, well, if I'm not getting my period, then how can I get pregnant? My mum's friend was pregnant at her 6-week checkup, so it could have been worse. I love that reaction. Who's even having sex then? What's wrong with you?
Your mother.
Get off.
Was that with you?
No, my mother's friend.
Oh, sorry.
No, it wasn't my mother.
I found when I went for various this week check and that week check after having Alistair, that they were like, I was being wheeled out of the hospital with someone was throwing condoms at me. Just like, what contraception are you using? It's just like, well, my vagina is hanging down my leg, so let's just use that for the next few weeks, shall we?
Yeah, I think my first appointment they gave me... I didn't throw condoms at me. I wish they had. I could have sold them at least. And I just wrote out the contraception pill. He's writing it out for me and I'm saying, no, I'm like a maniac on the contraception pill. I can't take that. I might murder people. Oh, no, I think it's best than having another baby.
Do you sell condoms?
No.
Because is there a market for them on eBay and stuff?
I'm really poor, Margaret.
No, I just wondered who was buying them. That's my...
Teenagers. But yeah. We've said regularly we should be going into schools as sex education people with our toddlers. Toddlers should be what they're showing for sex education. Not a condom and a banana. I think if they saw my toddler...
If you have sex, this is what you'll have.
I went to a convent school, that is what they do.
Did they?
Yeah, they brought out unruly children. No, they didn't. They didn't. No, they just told us it was dirty. It's very different.
Right, let's try and zoom through some... we've got 25. No, we haven't really done one.
Okay, here's one, which is... little babies should drink water.
Right, I don't understand.
Little babies should drink water. This is advice from old wives.
Old wives that sit around covens.
I mean, they're allowed to drink water, aren't they? But is it that they don't have to?
They're not supposed to, apparently.
Oh, because it will mess up with the breastfeeding.
Something to do with their little stomachs.
Yeah. They can only take in milk.
Enough
to create
enough water.
Enough
fluid.
Apparently not.
So are we saying that's true or false?
It's false.
It's false.
It's false. Right, great. Move on.
It's the opposite. Little babies should not drink water.
Yes. I gave mine water.
Okay.
Did you? Well, that's why they've turned out like they have.
That's why they're so bloody naughty.
That's where the chicken pox comes from. All that water they've been drinking.
Both my babies were summer babies and it was bloody hot. And of course I was breastfeeding them all the time as well, but sometimes I wanted to sleep, so Dad would give them a bit of water in a bottle. Only like a little bit.
Give them a sponge to chew on or something. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get angry, like silly reason to get angry at how much water people drink these days. It just makes me really angry.
Oh, you say that, but that's my answer to everything. Basically, if my children say anything's wrong with them at all,
I'm obsessed with drinking water.
Just if they've got a weird opinion or something, I'll be like, drink some water, or get
I've got a headache, have some water, you need more water.
Yeah. Worried about Brexit,
It's completely irrational, but there's a queue of people at the tap with something this fucking size 20 times a day, and I just think, I don't, but, you know, in the 90s, when people were dying, taking ecstasy because they were drinking too much bloody water, it wasn't the drugs, and I'm thinking, well, in the 90s, it was bad to drink 15 litres of water in 20 minutes. Now it's like, do it, or you're gonna, or you're just gonna dry up and shrivel up.
Can I say Gemma's opinions are not the official opinions?
No, of none of us are professionals.
I drink one glass of water a week.
Shut
I'm
up!
I'm not kidding you. I go out for a meal once a week and I have a glass of tap water.
Do you have headaches?
No.
You're drinking other things though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Which have water in them.
Like Red Bull.
And tea, yeah.
You must have terrible cystitis. I'm just putting it out there. Sorry if you're eating and drinking.
Well, the next one is... a baby should always wear a hat.
Well, I mean, if...
Always.
Sorry, yeah. I'm thinking that mustn't be true. Because they hardly ever... I mean... No, they should in the sun.
Yeah.
But I don't see why they should at
Is
night.
It true? Has anyone heard of this one before? No.
Has anyone ever been stopped in the street saying that baby should be wearing a hat?
Get a hat on that baby.
I've had it about socks and gloves.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. But that's just old people wanting
That's old people.
Interfere.
They just want conversation.
Well, look, we've started a discussion. We need 20 microphones. Oh, I mean, we could do a whole podcast called Old Ladies on Buses. For me, they just love to like... This didn't happen to me. I wish it did. Was an old lady just went, oh, we don't need that. Took a dummy out of his mouth. Because
yeah.
some old ladies are just horrified by dummies, don't they?
That's so weird. I had there's an old lady on a bus who was really angry with me that my son's hair was too frizzy.
I mean, her son's
hair
is...
She pointed and went, use some oil.
She didn't.
Yeah. I mean, my son has uncombable hair syndrome, and it is a thing. You can look it up. And I would never know this if it wasn't for the internet, but basically I've been sent by three different people now, a video, an article, and the Wikipedia thing for uncombable hair syndrome. He has triangular follicles, and it means his hair... I mean, you've both seen photos.
Yeah,
it means his hair...
he's beautiful, but it's big.
It's like lightning or something. The worst one was an old lady, it's always old ladies, in the supermarket who was behind me, and she was mouthing, pointing at his hair and mouthing something, and I was like, yes. and she got more and more frustrated, and she couldn't speak, and she started rooting around in her bag. I'd, you know, been finished served by that time, so I was just like waiting. And she got a little electric voice box thing out, yeah, pressed it to her neck and went, he's put his hand in the socket. I was like, alright, I waited to hear that.
For the benefit of people listening to this on the podcast, Margaret put her hand up to her throat to indicate that this lady may have had a tracheotomy.
Yes, that's what it's called. But I don't know what the thing... Does anyone know what the thing's called that you have? Your voice box. But it's an electronic one.
Oh my God, we're never going to get a podcast again. Hi, Facebook.
Sorry.
No, that is amazing.
I'm really sorry, Gem. I'm drinking some water.
So am I.
I know. I am planning to finish this.
All right. No, I just think people would just take it to the extremes.
I'm worried about you now. Because me and my sister are both convinced that like her mother-in-law like never drank any water and she died really young. We're convinced it's because she didn't drink any water.
I mean, I think both of you are quite extreme. Yeah. Is what I would say.
Oh, she's just making me want more and more water.
Okay, here's one. To make breast milk, you should drink milk.
What?
Did
someone tell you this? No, I've never.
I think that's false.
That can't be.
Is anyone? So we're all saying false.
It's false.
It's
yeah,
false.
Because
then
you could say, oh, if you want breast wine, then you should drink wine.
Drink a load of wine. Yeah. That would be good.
Yeah, sherry.
And also,
sherry
I went sherry. Off. I went off milk when I was pregnant. So, anyway, that's got nothing to do with it.
I went off chickpeas, but I think that's because my mother had her gallstones removed during that time and she showed me them and they looked quite like chickpeas. So I think that was more it than any sort of hormonal
thing. I think you're
right
with avoiding chickpeas in life generally while you're pregnant.
Yes, I was like, oh, no chickpeas!
I'm a vegetarian, I live on them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Pregnant women... shouldn't take baths.
Yeah.
I want to say okay. That's true.
Hot baths, yeah. Hot baths do boil sperm, apparently. Though, if you're trying to get, you know...
Yes.
Men shouldn't have hot baths if they want to try and impregnate. I think that.
Yeah, because yeah, so you hear like they shouldn't go on a sunbed and. Yeah. Not that I know any men that go on sunbeds. That's not the sort of men I hang around with.
But what? Why shouldn't they?
Is there why shouldn't they? Person in the
have
audience.
Have we got any medical people?
Just low cold baths. Yeah, that's relaxing,
that's the worst.
Isn't it?
I honestly like living on a farm.
I don't know.
I'm very glad you got to the microphone.
For the benefit of
the
listeners, me to have ran all the way around there, sweated her life off, and she went, I don't know. Well, I was terrible when I was pregnant. I had just coincided with two freebie spa days, and I was not missing out on the jacuzzi. But again, they've come out fine. So there we go.
Boiling a bag, baby. Do you want
that? He came out a bit red and a bit, but yeah.
Fine.
I was not missing out on that jacuzzi. We're saying true, maybe that one.
No, it's false.
It's false.
That's false.
Okay. You knock yourself up with baths. Okay, having heartburn during pregnancy means you have a hairy baby.
I was literally just reading this morning that there was, they did a study to try and disprove this, and apparently it is true. Yeah, there was a university study, and it's some, oh God, I wish I could remember why. but I heard that there is, like, if you are more likely to have a hairy baby if you have heartburn.
See, I thought...
The heartburn doesn't cause a hairy baby. But if you... Yes, that doesn't sound right either, yeah. Does it? I've got to look. Yeah. Evil children.
Did either of you have heartburn?
Oh yeah.
Surely you must have had terrible heartburn.
Why? Why
me? Because of your curly child.
He didn't come out like that though.
Ah.
No. But he came out with a hat on because babies all should wear hats. Obviously.
Yes, it has to be that it was curly in the womb. You just imagine this curl going around your heart, squeezing it. So then you've got to drink the Gaviscon all day long.
not sure about that.
No.
Apparently it's false.
It's false. Well,
we're
I'm going to look up
but
that.
We'll have to, that one... To be confirmed.
Yes.
I have to put it in the notes under the podcast.
It's true.
This lady over here is saying true. I tell you what, Rita, give me the microphone, might be easier. So it's true.
It's true. Mm. No, it's false. Well, we're under debate there.
Let's just whiz through the rest.
All right, well, when you're pregnant, you crave what your body needs.
Well, I'm 100% true because I did not stop eating Haribos or Haribos, whatever you like to call them. I call them Haribos.
Haribos?
Haribos.
You say Haribos, I say, let's call the whole thing off. An ex-boyfriend called them that and then it just stuck with me, but people think
but
I'm
But do
a
you think
weirdo.
That is because... You can't think that's because you need your body needed that because I don't think that's ever been a thing, has it? What your body needs Haribo is like really specifically.
Must need the
sugar.
Well, yeah.
Do you think?
But I think isn't cravings meant to be a myth? Isn't that the whole thing that we have cravings?
Oh, really?
Isn't it just that basically, and again, we should have, next time we'll have someone on the panel who knows
something.
Thanks.
Sorry, Gemma. That is meant to be Gemma, sort of. She just has a quick Google before we come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not the same thing. This is how we got into the whole... It
doesn't make me a professional doctor.
No.
However, speak to my dog walker and
that's
it bloody
what
does,
happened
right,
to, yeah. You know, the poo doctor, isn't it? I've completely...
So is that true
now.
Or false?
Again, it's false.
Yeah. I think you just... If you have sugar, you crave more sugar, don't you? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, no. I thought I read that basically you just... The whole craving thing isn't true. You just want... more than what you normally really like you don't allow yourself to have. It's just that when you're pregnant you go, fuck it, I'm pregnant.
Right. Yeah.
Which I think is true.
I craved one cigarette, that was it. So I don't know what my body was after.
So 90s. Big old bit.
I didn't know, but... Yeah.
Oh, you wanted
really?
It.
Oh, yeah.
You just went around sniffing up at the job centre.
Cigarettes and apple ties. Cigarettes and apple ties.
You can have apple ties. That's good for you. It's one of your five a day. Sure.
Yeah, five of my five a day.
There's not a trace of water in that. Ooh, better not be any water. Margaret, did you have anything when you were pregnant that was out of the
ordinary? Apart from the chickpea version. Well, I went off leaves, which again, as a vegetarian, isn't great.
God,
just, yeah,
it's
no.
Really
you
hard
all feel
it's
really
a
sorry
hard
for me,
pregnancy.
I drank a lot of tonic water. That's all I wanted.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. What's that good for?
Well, that's got, hasn't it got poison in it? So maybe it's got like quinine.
Quinine.
But is quinine dangerous? I think you can poison yourself with
it. No, you give that for malaria, don't they? They give that.
My baby was trying to kill me.
I think there's probably some kind of parasitic thing there. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Your little frizzy baby.
Nice.
Last one is nothing to do with being a mum.
it kind of
okay.
is.
Feed a cold, starve a fever.
True. This is the first time that everyone's agreed.
Everyone
I would say.
Says it's true. It's false. It's feed a cold, feed a fever. Just feed.
I don't know. All I know is that when I get a temperature and I've got a cold, whether I know it's a cold, I just eat. I go, oh, you know what they say, feed a cold.
Feed a
fever. Oh, you know
fever.
What they say, feed a fever. Yeah. I never know which one it is, so I just feed them all.
Yeah. It's the old lady on a bus.
Yeah.
Oh, you're carrying out, it's a boy, you're carrying wide, it's a boy.
Well, we were talking about, that's a myth as well, isn't it? The carrying.
Carrying hard.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Lady on the end, how do you know it is? Are you a doctor?
You just did your best. Absolutely.
Oh, love that. She did her best. But yes, it's just down to your body shape, isn't it? But you just learn to go, yeah, just let them say what they want to say. They just want to say something. Let them say something. Like,
yeah, because actually genuinely the best advice I ever got was about receiving advice, which is to just smile and nod and say, yeah, and then do what you were going to do anyway. You don't need to have an argument about it. You can pretend you're going to listen to them.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah. So much of it's rubbish.
Round of applause for everyone.
Round of applause for everyone. Did you record that, Hattie?
Now, that does bring us on beautifully to the next section. This is weird because normally in the podcast when we do it in the studio, we'd like play a song now, wouldn't we? We'd all sort of...
Do you want to sing something?
Go for a week. No, thank you. So I've got to try and woohoo keep the energy up. So one of the ways I thought I'd keep the energy up is I have got down there... Oh, we've got a baby in the room. I forgot. They've been so quiet.
Oh, my God, so quiet. Well
now
done,
you're
baby.
All going to gosh. Harold.
He's 4 months tomorrow.
4 months?
Wow. Well done for getting out of the house.
Well done for getting out of the house.
Yay,
sister.
Yay. We need that jingle.
Is this your sister?
Yeah.
It's Gemma's sister. Oh, hi.
My nephew.
Oh, he's beautiful. No, mine's 19 months and he is the size of a 4-year-old now. So you've got that to look forward to and you have big babies.
You can share clothes, can't they, soon?
I'll send you some. I'll send you some clothes. He's already growing out of his 2-year-old clothes and he's 19 months. He's a giant. How much was he when he was born?
Only 8'11".
8'11".
Oh, gee, but not as big.
No, it's good.
Ooh,
it's
a big boy.
It's a big boy. £9.01. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yeah,
any advances on £9.01?
10-6.
10-6 in the front row. Oh, my God. And she's managing to sit there with her legs crossed. A sunroof.
Sunroof.
But you've still got the pressure on the old pelvis. This is the thing when people say to me, because I've got terrible pelvic floor, and they go, oh, would it come out of the sunroof? I go, yo, but it's nothing to do with that, is it? It's the, yeah.
But my friend was 12 pounds when she was born, and this is before they had scans and stuff. When she came out, the doctor said they reckoned she'd eaten her twin.
Shut up.
So this still comes up in family arguments. They'll just say to her, well, shut up, at least I didn't eat my twin. No
we
guarantee.
We are all hiding our faces behind.
She's
our
fine. She's
glasses.
6'1". She's fine.
That is. Thank you for sharing that amazing story, Margaret.
So sorry.
I feel like that will be the voice bite to this episode. To lure.
Stay tuned to hear about Margaret's huge baby friend.
That is a horror film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go off and write that. We could be in it together, Margaret.
Yeah,
me and Margaret
let's do
were in a
it.
Film together last year.
We were.
Anyway, and I was pregnant, secretly pregnant in it.
God, yes.
Remember?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I had to do this bit where I walked into a lamppost. Again, it's a miracle that my children are okay. So next bit, we're going to sort of go on with advice with family. So let's start off with our mothers. Have you got anything that you have taken from your mother with your parenting?
Or
you
what, sort of stolen from their house, that's the thing.
I know, I'm being very deep, aren't I? Consciously or subconsciously, you know, have you gone, right, my mum did that with me, you know, she made me dress myself at 2 years old.
No, not really. I mean, she's sort of good. She very rarely gives advice, actually, my mum. In fact, one of the only times she ever, she said, make sure you take any opportunity that comes up, which is mostly good, but can have. But she did also say to me, never turn down someone if they ask you to dance, which I think is... No, but it's so old-fashioned now. No, because I've been abused. No, I haven't been. But what I'm saying is that could really go wrong. No, I haven't. Sorry, that was a terrible dark
Hashtag
joke.
Me too.
But no, what I'm saying is I wouldn't say that to my daughter now in case it got her into trouble. Do you know what I mean?
But I like the sort of romantic
idea. But actually, the dancing, you're right. It's not someone saying,
not just dancing,
come into the corner with me. Yeah. Saying, shall we dance? No, that's nice. Yeah. Nothing to do with parenting. Sorry. Brought the room down.
Was your mum a stripper? Is that why it was?
Yes, did I not mention that?
Don't turn a dance down if anyone asks. Yeah. You've got to pay the bills, Hattie. You've got to pay the bills, mate.
You've got to pay the bloody bills. I don't know. No judges here, mate. No judges here. So nothing that you've consciously...
Nipple shields. That's what she gave me.
She gave you?
Yeah.
Not her own old one.
No. Yeah, bequeathed from her
vintage
mother. Yeah. It was a weird thing with breastfeeding. So I don't know if anyone else has had this, but nobody ever mentioned nipple shields. And apparently later on they sort of say, oh no, they don't think they're a very good idea. But I think they're an amazing idea when they're all really battered. Yeah. Because there comes a point where it's like, I don't want to put a little mouth on that.
I felt like that with the pads. I had the reusable ones.
I did cabbage leaves. That's an old
cabbage
wives'
leaves.
Tale,
oh,
isn't
yes, it is. Yeah.
That's a true one, though. Cabbage leaves are amazing.
But they sort of did smell after a while. I think I put them on too long.
Oh, you bring...
I think they're supposed to be cold.
This is maybe the wrong thing to say while a woman's breastfeeding in the room.
She's doing very well. Look, she's smiling.
Oh, God, I remember the 3 a.m. going to my husband, go and get some more cold cabbage, please. And then, oh, my God. Anyway.
Can I just ask about the cabbage? What is it doing?
Is it just cold, though, really? Like, if they were...
Is there anything... Really?
Could you use lettuce, for example? Hmm? Could you use lettuce?
Microphone on this lady.
It will stop the engorgement, so the pain.
But why is there anything
so full that
medically
you kind of like...
in the actual cabbage, or is it just that particular vegetable holds coldness?
I really don't know.
It's useful shape and size.
It really works. It worked for me anyway.
Yeah, because you couldn't use... An iceberg lettuce isn't thick enough, is it?
Shreds
too.
It's
watery.
Flimsy.
Yeah.
And a bit
wet. Maybe a gem. The outer leaves of a gem lettuce, you might...
A baby gem?
No, a bigger one. You know, okay. A big one.
Well, it worked for me anyway. I was an overproducer, if anyone's one of them. just basically...
Hi, Hattie. Welcome. Good for you.
Hello, my name's Hattie. I produce too much milk. If you knock into me, you may get a mouthful. Okay, Gemma, anything that you've... not awkward at all for you,
no,
your
not.
Mother in the front row.
No, I know, right.
Is there anything you take?
No, I don't, nothing consciously. I mean, I know that there was... It's funny, I mean, you know, I looked to my mum for, you know, for kind of... It's like, does this get... better. Does it? There was stuff like she said to me, the bigger the baby, the easier it is to give birth. And you had to say something.
I had to say, Gemma's mum just said, I had to say something.
I had to say something.
That's an old lady on a bus, surely.
He's an old lady.
But actually what that did was then for the 4 weeks of pregnancy that carried on after that, it's just like, oh, okay, but mum said, right?
So your mum
said,
mind
over
matter.
Course,
she was doing hypnobirthing in a way.
It's old school hypnobirthing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yes, and similarly then he'll be sleeping through by Christmas. And That I didn't
That's
know she
a
meant,
risk.
I didn't
can
know
I say.
She meant she meant two Christmases. But so she was.
Well,
right
no, it's exactly the
she
same as the war.
Which Christmas?
That's it'll be over by Christmas. Yeah. That's what everyone said yeah. about the war that went on for yeah. 6 years.
But yeah, it's just I guess that was it really. But it worked on both counts. It's like okay, I think I can do one more day if I hold on to this advice that yeah. probably isn't true.
Which is what most. Let's be honest. That's what most. Old wives' style things.
Yeah, of course
old
it
wives,
is.
It's just to make us feel
no,
better.
No, they don't want to upset anybody, do they?
Don't want to upset yeah. anyone.
Apart from...
I think she just thought that was very funny.
She was so Same. Proud of herself as she went in her bag.
The, comedy,
she
got the whole, timing was excellent.
Yeah, exactly.
We all won't say? Forget that. Oh, yeah, my yeah. God, Margaret.
What about you, Hat?
I don't know. Like, no, nothing she really said. Particularly, but I've tried to take on. She's really patient, my mum, and I'm not. I found out the other day when I threw a little kiddie's cart thing across the room that I've got my dad's patience. Like this time he threw a mug of coffee at the wall. Don't worry, no kids were in the room at that time. I've killed the room now. But she was really patient, so I guess I've tried to take that on a bit. But. I remember when I was changing Huxley, the oldest, when he was a baby, and he was maybe about 6 months, and she went, oh, this is one of the best times. And I remember at the time going, is it? Because it didn't feel like it was. But that really stuck in my mind. So then when I had my second child, I got it a bit more. I think you have a second child to appreciate how good it is with one, but also, yeah, just to appreciate the baby bits a bit more. But the other weird thing I've taken on, which I think I was telling you the other day, Gemma, is this is a silly little thing, but I didn't realise it was that no other parents did this until a friend came to stay, and they stayed over, and they said, "Does your mum do this every morning?" And I said, yeah. And my mum always paid a tablecloth and the cereal boxes all out and the milk in a little jug and a spoon, like basically like I was at a B&B every morning. But it was like that every morning for school. Every morning for school and at the weekends. And then I just took it for granted until that friend saw it. And I was like, oh, thank God that friend said that. And now, so now I do really try. It's really hard though because I forget. And then he's coming downstairs and I'm running down the stairs going, oh, oh. It's not quite as beautifully laid out. But I just want him to have that memory as well.
Aww. Yeah, it's nice.
It's not funny. It's just true. Yeah.
I had after I had my first baby, particularly, I spent a lot of time apologising to my mum. Because it was only then when you realised, oh God, you did all of this for me, and that was really massive. You know, and before that, I just thought, God, I just took all of that for granted. And it was, it was a really big deal to... I mean, I think it just got annoying to my mum after a while. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much.
So what's she saying? She like, yes, I told you. Were you a good child, Margaret?
No, I was terrible. And
was you?
Yeah, I was a terrible baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it was bad, actually, because... I think it damages you to be told you were terrible all the time. God, well, you were a terrible baby. Oh, you were a horrible baby. And actually, my daughter was also a terrible baby. But I don't say that to her. And instead, I say, you just didn't like being a baby, which I think is a nicer way of putting it. So saying you didn't like it, you couldn't wait to walk and talk sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, yeah.
I think you and your mum need to go in therapy. No, but that's really interesting.
No, but they only told me a couple of years ago that when I was 3 months old, my mum had appendicitis and I had to be taken away from her for a month or something. Well, that will explain. You know, I've always just thought I was naturally evil, but it turns out there was a reason.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, silly.
Because I keep saying that Huxley's hard work, always hard work. It's a hard work child. And, my sister-in-law, she... overheard a conversation, her mum saying that she was hard work and it really upset her. And I just thought, no, but I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care if my mum said that about me, but she didn't, so...
Yeah.
I just got told I was a gem. No, I got told... I had tantrums. Tantrums like Huxley has terrible tantrums. He's four. He's had them since he was two. It's still not gone. It never does, doesn't it? Oh, God. It has got a bit better. Now he can speak a bit better. So he just, you know, can say words when he's having the tantrum as opposed to just screaming.
How old are you? How old is
Yours?
I've got, what have I got? Almost 13.
Oh my God, 13.
7 and 10, so I have 3 in the three.
13, 11, 10. Are they all having tantrums?
yeah, amazing.
People put different things. All my own stuff, thinking, is amazing.
So they scream and shout and stuff.
Oh, God.
But they go to
I'm really dreading it.
Gemma can't wait for that. She wants a swearing match.
Yeah. He's pretty cool.
Got that to look forward to.
Oh, no, Alistair, he said, are there any worse swear words than the F word?
Oh, and God, I said, what did you say?
There's one.
And I'll tell you. And build it like, up.
Is it an S word? I'm like, nope. Is it an R word? I'm like, nope. Just, yeah. Keep him guessing till he's about 15, I think. And then
how old is he now?
5.
But do you know John Ronson, the journalist? He told his son that his son said, will you tell me what the worst word is? And he said, yeah, all right. And he said, it's limone. And he said, but you've got to promise never to say it. Aww. And the kid was like, no, I never will. And then, of course, he said it. And, then came to his dad and said, it's not the worst word. And his dad was like, you said it and I knew you'd say it. It's really clever.
Has anyone got caught out when they were little for swearing? Is that funny? No. I think I my sister and her boyfriend were having sex. I think they were years later. They've now told me, you know, that time you were hiding under the table.
Oh,
we were having jiggy jiggy.
Just taking a turn.
And I was trying to hide because I just thought they were kissing, and I banged my head, and I went, "Fuck it!" Yeah. But I was only like 3,
and they were having sex.
Well,
in the room,
in the living room.
Oh my God. And
oh, I should say my sisters are a lot older than me, yes, by the way. This sounds really. Sorry.
This sounds traumatic.
I'm a mistake child.
You're not a mistake child.
A pleasant mistake child.
Yeah. Accidental.
So my sister would have been, I don't know, 17 or something. So don't worry, yeah.
But did they hear you and stop?
Yeah, when they heard me swear, but I was trying to hold in the swear. That's the funny thing. Because I banged my head on the table. And then they gave me a pound to run round the block. Because that's what you did in the 90s.
And I said, no pound.
They gave me a pound. Yeah. And the funny thing was, we were talking about this a couple of years ago, and I said, I did fucking run round the block.
I
could have easily just pretended. How are we doing for time? I've no idea. So, anything else? Anything we've had any, we're all right, we're good for time. From our, from any friends, anything dodgy a friend has said, advice wise? I mean, not just generally, although we're up for even anything. If not, we'll move on to the next section, ladies.
It's just that thing of every. It's just that thing, because every single situation is different, and so any like advice has to be generic, or it should start with should. Listen, it shouldn't start with should for a start.
Yeah.
Is in my experience X Y Z, or this worked for me X Y Z. I think that's okay. Mm. But in this, and I know you're going to get onto it later about manuals and stuff like that. But I had a friend saying to me that I hadn't, and I don't know how she thought she knew, that I hadn't emptied one of my breasts when I was breastfeeding, and said, the kid is not going to get what it needs. And that fucking freaked me out then.
Of course.
I was to the clinic I think I'm starving my baby, and and it's just like, it's okay, it's fine. You don't have to, empty your breast. The baby will stop feeding when it needs to, it. And it's just, I think, and also it was from someone that I wouldn't expect to be dictating stuff like that. Yeah, so I just basically just didn't, every time she spoke about baby stuff, I just closed my ears. I won't be,
Well, the worst one for me was people, when you're pregnant and people just love telling you their horror stories.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
But the thing is, afterward you go, I wish I'd known this, I wish I'd known that. But do you? I think ignorance is...
Because if someone's pregnant, I won't. I used to, before I'd had a baby, I'd tell my horrible twin story, initiate a twin story. I'd be, but it was, even I was very young, But I remember seeing the face of a pregnant woman who was leaving on maternity leave when I was telling these stories, and I could just see the colour drain from her face, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't do that. But now, I mean, I'll tell people stories, but yeah, when people are actually pregnant, you don't want to sort of launch into this is here's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, it's true.
However funny the story is.
I remember watching, don't watch it, can't bear it, but it was on, was Call the Midwife. And I was...
We fall out over this.
I have auditioned for it twice.
She's in a constant audition.
She
just walks around waiting to be invited to be on the bloody thing.
She hangs around with a bicycle outside the studio.
It's down in Kent, in Deal. That's where they film it, just saying.
But and it was an awful episode where there was a... The birth didn't end well. And my mother-in-law went, turn it off. And it was a bit kind of like, God, you know, just have positivity around the pregnant woman.
Right.
And I do go along with that, really. What help is it to have terrible things around it, you know? My sister was bigger. She was just like, she just wanted like positive, and that's the hypnobirthing stuff as well.
I did hypnobirthing.
But just positive around, surely. I mean, it's
no. Hang on, look. The lady in the front row just said
that yours.
She wanted to give birth with donkeys, and I'd like to explore that.
Yes.
Can we get a mic to the donkey lady, please? Sorry. Oh, sorry, that's Hattie.
So I'm the eldest sister.
Oh, hello.
Hello. And the baby sister, who's just had the baby, was like in a creative world as a pregnant mummy. You know, I want to go to a natural birthing centre, and I want to have it with the donkeys, and it's going to be lovely.
Donkeys there,
no,
they?
Not donkeys, the ponies in the New Forest. I'm sorry, let's read.
Yeah, ponies. Biblical. She's getting it confused.
New Forest ponies. There we go. And in my little world, I had had my babies, and I'm like. Okay, so I was trying, like, we talk about giving advice, so I was like, so, you know, we should go with the flow, like, trying to, you know, because you never know, do you? That's the thing. And I'm trying to kind of be like, lovely, that would be amazing, and let's maybe, you know, like, think about this. So it's really difficult.
You want to make sure
you're
they're all right as well.
Donkeys crapping on the baby's head or something.
I think the thing is with it is that, you know, once we've gone through a birthing experience, is the idea of a birth plan, you realise, but only post it's just like,
plan.
But at the same time, you know, I'm not one to go, well, there's no point having a bloody birth plan. It's just, you know, just
no,
like,
because
oh,
every
oh,
now
oh,
and then, it all,
say that again.
It all works.
Like, say that again.
So, but we've all been, so we've all, having had given birth, and maybe some of us had birth plans, maybe some of us didn't, but I know for me, the plan was out of the window, and I think that's the experience of a lot of women. And but when someone, you know, expecting their first child says, like, my birth plan is this, you don't want to be all like, there's no bloody point.
So with my first child, I had that dream of a birthing pool, you know, music I'd selected, hypnobirthing CDs I'd listened to.
Sounds lovely, isn't it?
You know, visualisations, all of those things. And it went completely opposite way. It couldn't have gone further from that.
Yeah.
3 days in hospital, you know, every intervention out of the sunroom.
Every drug, please, every give drug, it to me now.
Every drug. And... And I think for me, I was kind of, I think I was quite traumatised. So actually, you know, actually afterwards, I wasn't that bothered. I was just glad I was still there with a baby. But I think for some friends of mine who didn't have that, so they dreamt of it all, and then they didn't have that birth, and they really punished themselves.
Yeah.
Because they were like, I want the beautiful birth, and then they didn't have it.
Yeah. Because my birthing plan, I wrote next to every question, should we see how it goes? I don't know. How any of it's going to work.
Yeah,
but when you begin to improvising, I mean, you're an improviser, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
So for you,
exactly,
I mean,
she's a professional improviser.
Was. But also, to be fair, that is, you're right, that is about my personality. Yeah. And I know that some people, and a couple of friends who did hypnobirthing and it went completely wrong, but they both said, they were pleased that they'd done it because it made them feel like they did have something.
That's you, isn't it? Here, sister. Did, also, so, you know. I loved going to the classes. I know, as hippy-dippy as it sounds, I love going to the classes. It was the only time that me and my husband made the effort because we were both really busy to go together to these things.
Yeah, it's bonding.
And it was bonding. And we do the meditation tapes together.
You sound hysterical.
When it came to the actual birth, it was yeah.
Different story.
Turn that woman's voice off! I don't want to hear it. When it was a bit of that going on, and but I am still really pleased we did it with birth.
Yeah. So
in case Sophie's listening, because I'm still good friends with her.
You're in a pyramid scheme, and is that what you are, this hypnobirthing? That's what I think that's like. It's a bit of a pyramid scheme, bloody cult.
You're obsessed with everything being a pyramid scheme.
Very suspicious.
She's so suspicious, Mum. What have you done to make us so suspicious?
I don't believe podcasting. I'm suspicious of that as well. I'm thinking, what do you want? You're signing up to something, some subscription that you can't cancel.
Yeah.
It's not like that, by the way.
You can cancel it any time, and it's free. Yeah. Well, that was kind of bringing us on naturally to we're going to end on just like the professional advice. So
people are growling now in the audience. People that's
what?
Not good. Growling.
Yeah. Well, that can just be the end. I don't mind if our opinion on professional advice. But this comes under obviously not books, doctors. Of all, but I mean, okay, hands up. Did anybody follow parenting manuals, whatever you want to call them? Hands up if you followed any.
Gina Ford and the like.
Two.
Very briefly. Very, very briefly.
Very briefly. Which one?
Gina Ford.
So we've got, Gina. Don't say anything. Gina Ford. And this lady.
Oh, Roma,
sorry, you can
very
just tell
slow.
Me.
Your baby week by week.
Your baby week by week. And she's shaking her
your
head.
Your baby
not...
week by week. Yeah. God, that sounds.
Yeah, actually,
is it?
It's really light touch. Like, your baby at this stage will probably be doing this. You could introduce this very gentle thing if you wanted to.
Oh, okay, so...
Okay.
Not so really.
Very kind. It's not a regime, like, where don't feed them, put them down now.
Yeah, yeah.
If they cry, then just leave them. It's not like that at all. It's very gentle and easy
going. Okay, so, Margaret, did you do any...
No.
Not at all. You just...
No, we had one book that was a book of reassurance, basically.
That one's called...
First, no. That's a good one. I might write that now.
Fuck me, write that book!
No, it's called First Time Parent, and I can really recommend it. Because it was just like things like, what does green poo mean?
Yes, you know, oh, okay. So more like then, a...
Yeah, it was like...
A guide rather
here's
than
here's when
a...
you go to the hospital.
Yes.
You know, you're probably all right sort of thing. Yeah, I don't remember it very well because it's quite...
Yeah, that's good. Almost like a dictionary.
But also, the book that I really would recommend is The Book You Wish Your Parents Had Read. I don't know if anyone's read
it. Lots
of... And I had to have lots of guilt breaks while I was reading it because...
Did you?
Because my daughter is 10 and I was like, oh, I've done everything wrong. But it was still really good, and she was very reassuring, and she's like, I know it sounds like I'm having a go at you, I'm not having a go at you, this is, you know, this
we've
is just the
it.
Ideal situation.
Brilliant. No,
it's a psychotherapist's book, really. It's not about the practical stuff, you know, not like Gina.
Right, yeah it's just, yeah, I really must read it. I don't want to say on podcast that I haven't read it, because I'd love to get her on the show.
Yes,
so
you should.
I've read it. I've got two children under four. I can't do any reading. I just fall asleep. But I will get back to the Gina Ford lady. The reason why I was pausing was a reason because the book you did as well was, or tried to do, was...
It was given to me.
It was given to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, quite was... passive aggressive advice, that, isn't it? Sending someone a manual.
And it was.
Was it called passive aggressive advice?
No, It was Gina Ford.
It was Gina Ford, the contented baby. That one?
Yeah.
That's the first, that's the original one, the contented baby.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. No, it's all right. No, they're not in the room, don't worry.
And did you find Gina Ford contented baby? Did
no,
you read
I
it?
No, the thing is with it is that I got it, but it seemed to rely on never leaving the house, ever. You know, at midday, put her down and unclothed or whatever with the curtains half ajar. And it's like, well, I've got a coffee appointment with somebody, so sorry, Gina.
And now you can have your breakfast,
yeah,
and now
exactly.
You can bathe the baby.
Yeah. And also, it's just
I'm
that thing.
Quiet for
it,
a reason.
It is just that thing of as well is that she, it's not coming from a place of experience, which is what I want my advice to be.
Right. Okay.
That's
good points.
That's all. But you know,
Was that your lady in the audience, sorry?
Oh, yeah.
That was your gripe with her as well.
Yeah, like I was crying because I had to wake my sleeping baby. Because if you don't wake him now, then you can't follow the routine because he needs to be asleep again at this time. And then it was like, take the clothes off him, like John was saying, and I was just standing there crying while my husband was grabbing a book.
Yeah, I did meet someone who burnt their Gina Ford book in the
did
garden.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know whether
if you're an army mum, maybe. I don't know.
An army mum.
Did you burn it?
So after that you just threw the book out and
yeah.
just went
yeah,
hippie.
Like,
and
never speak again.
Just went with the flow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, mum, that I am in fact Gina Ford. No, I loved it.
Right.
And I'm gonna say my piece now. It's not very funny, but it's because what I believe is, and I think one piece of very good advice someone did say to me was, if you are going to go with the parenting manual, pick one, because there's so many, and pick one. And you don't have to go with it all. You can pick and choose. And basically, maybe like a lot of people, you go to these parents. The main thing I went to that for was sleep advice.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take a lot of her stuff.
They're good sleepers, your boys, as well, aren't they?
Yes. Just want to say that.
Touché.
But
touché.
My husband did say last night, because we were talking about it, he went, we don't know, would they have been anywhere?
Yeah.
So you just don't know. But I would say, and this isn't funny, this is just a discussion, is that my argument for the not being able to go out for coffee is actually, because she puts you in a routine, you know, oh, baby's going to be asleep then. And I wouldn't worry about them being at home and blind. I'd just be like, oh, they're in a buggy and put the cover over them. But at least I knew that time they're going to be napping and I can go for a coffee with a friend. So it worked for us. But I mean, all that kind of like, I think the problem that Gina has is she needs another writer, because it's the way her book is written, all that kind of like in the middle of the night, do not look at your baby.
Yeah.
And all she really means to say is, don't have a party, don't, you know, and literally we have had, God bless them if they do end up listening to this one, we have had friends that they'd had children before us and we watched their babies never seem to go to sleep, and then we find out they're just like doing nursery rhymes in the middle of the night. It's like, you're making it too much fun for them to stay up. So all Gina was meaning is just like, you know, but
night times for sleep.
She needs a bit of help with her
this
writing.
This is like the Bible, where you're sort of reinterpreting what
I know,
she says.
I really, I'm sorry, I know, I do, it worked for me.
Yeah.
But not all of it, just the bits.
Fight, it's fight.
Not, now I feel like me and Gemma are going to have a wrestling yeah. match. It's not funny when you agree on something, is it? Like, yeah, I think it was really great. For me, but yeah, we'll see. But then I would say my second child, I was a bit more, you know, didn't follow a routine, and he just fall into good sleeping as well. So yeah, okay. Everyone now hates me because I like Gina Ford.
You're two sleeping angels.
No, but they're shitters in the day. They wet themselves.
You can't
all
have it both.
Day long, and they sleep, so you can't have
that's
it. All.
Something my mum used to say was, "Mummy won't bloody sleep." She said, it won't bloody sleep in the day. And she said, he's got to be awake at some point. This baby asleep for 24 hours.
Actually, that was one piece of good advice. I know it's that my mum said, which sounds really wrong, but she would, when they were, the baby was crying, and she'd say, well, how else are they going to wear themselves out? Mm. And not meaning you should leave them for hours to cry, but yeah,
they're communicating.
Leave them a little bit of a cry, then.
Yeah.
Maybe when I shove them at the bottom of the garden to cry for hours, I'm not good. Right, we've got to finish up.
Right.
So, anything to. No, that's it.
It feels like how to. You should do a. What have we learned?
Yes,
moment.
What have we learned from today? What do you think we've learned about advice, Margaret?
I've learned nothing.
Right?
I'm very pleased about it.
What have we learnt about old wives' tales, I think?
Oh, do you know what I've learnt? I've learnt that I'm quite looking forward to being an old lady on a bus.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to spend a lot of time
because
on buses.
Because you can just say
haranguing
what the hell
people.
You like.
Yeah.
You can say what you like.
Revenge time.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like, my second child, his name's Buster. I think it's a great name. I was a bit high on gas and air. And two old ladies have said to me, oh, what's his name? Buster. Oh, you haven't. The poor thing.
Really? What? Not that's a real name. But you've got to love them. You've got to love them. They can say what the bloody well want. Whereas other people go, oh, what's he called? And I say, Huxley. Oh, that's a nice name. That's Buster. And they're just silence. When really they want to go, okay, strange. But we love him. Gemma, what have you taken from today?
Well, just as I suspected that there aren't many people who have found that Gina Ford has worked for them, and yet she has sold millions of books.
What does that say?
With the right pastel-coloured book cover...
Is this a pyramid scheme paranoia again?
I reckon any old bitch can write a bloody book with the right promo. Like you said, what's it called? What do you call it?
Reassurance. She's going to bring out... Okay, so we're ending on that Gemma... So Margaret's...
No, what was my book? Yeah, The Reassurance.
The Reassurance, yeah. How Not to Eat Your Own Twin.
And other tips.
Hard to give, that advice. People don't like it.
Please subscribe to the Funny Mummies. Thank you for listening to our live show. We're going to do a live show the 3rd of May. It's going to be a 90s special with the one and only Sarah Kaywood from... What did I say?
Girly Show.
Yeah. You laugh like I got it wrong. From the Girly Show.
Yes.
She's going to join us on the 3rd of May. Thank you to Margaret Kaywood-Smith. Thank you to Gemma Beagley. I've been Hattie Ashdown. You've been the audience.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown, in association with Screaming with Laughter for the Other Woman radio show on Soho Radio. Thanks to all my guests and panel today, and edited and produced by Charlotte Kingston. We'll be back every month for another dose of Mum and Tonic.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!